Hello and welcome to the Up North Halo podcast. I am the host, Nicholas Eggdorf. Hope you are all enjoying the weekend of Angels baseball. I know I did. Fun to watch. Love the stuff that's gone on, and we'll talk a lot about that. And the game they played today was actually a split squad game, so they played the Rangers and the Reds today. And of course, the game prior on Saturday was against the Cubs, and also the game on Friday against the Dodgers. And we might as well just jump straight into the Dodgers game, so we'll work in chronological order. But before I did get into that, I just wanted to talk on Gavin Lux and the terrible news that he's going to be out for the season with a torn ACL. Absolutely tragic news. Even though they play for a rival, you still got to feel for a guy like Lux, who was primed for a great year. He had the starting job at short pretty much on lock. And to see someone go down like that, that's never fun. And I wish him the speediest of recoveries and hope to see him back out on the diamond soon. And now getting into the game that was played, we have Dodgers and Angels tied 2-2. And we'll get into more about the fact that there was a tie in a bit. But Tyler Anderson got the start against his old club and looked pretty good. And in the first two innings, which is all he went, he got lots of weak contact. And that was a huge part of why he was so successful with the Dodgers last year. And if he's going to keep doing stuff like that, I have absolutely zero complaints. His stat line was not very flashy, but you never really want super flashy, I guess. The less stuff there is on the stat line, the better. You want innings pitched and outs. That's all that matters. He got two innings, two walks. That's it. No strikeouts. He's not really a big strikeout guy anyways. He should get more, obviously, as the season goes on, obviously. But, you know, don't need strikeouts early in spring. Why waste him now, right? And then Hurgut came in after those two innings. Walk and a hit. No damage. Clean inning. But this is where things started to get interesting. And Carlos Estevez. Oh, boy. So he's been trying to work on keeping the fastball elevated in the zone, and he struggled with that on Friday when they played, and it didn't look good. His final stat line was 1/3 of an inning, 2 earned runs, 1 strikeout, and this is the real kicker, 4 walks. Rough day, but it's early in spring. Let him work this stuff out now. It's better to have him blow up in spring than blow up in summer. So this is what spring training is for. Let him work out whatever he's trying to do. Be patient. I want to see him do well. I think he will. Just give it a couple more outings. Let him fine-tune the things that he needs to. And he's still going to be ready for a good year this year. And hopefully I'm right about that. We'll have to wait and see. But Ingram came in to finish the inning. He allowed a walk, and that also went to Estevez's line. So that was where the second earned run came from. So Ingram allowed a bases loaded walk, and then that was it. Got an out. And then Jacob Webb came in the next inning, got 2 Ks, allowed a hit and a walk. Jonathan Holder followed him up, got a K. And in a 1-2-3, no problem. Murphy came in after and had 2 walks, no hits or strikeouts, got out of the inning clean. And Jonathan Diaz had 2 innings pitched to wrap it up, and he allowed 1 hit and got 3 Ks. So that's always a nice way, get a couple strikeouts if you're pitching more than 2 innings. Love to see that. That was a solid day for the pitchers, only allowing 2 runs against the Dodgers, who did run out a pretty full lineup. It was a lot of starters early, so not too shabby to see them keep them to only 2 runs. Now we'll get into some of the offensive guys, but I did want to mention something before I transitioned into that was Logan Ohapi, who got crossed up on a pitch and it went behind him. He probably could have shuffled over to try and block it, but he tried to backhand it to catch it, which probably shouldn't have done, but you know, he's young, give him a little bit of learning curve kind of grace. And he did manage to get to the ball quickly, and DeLuca, who was the base runner, who was stealing second on the pitch, made a big turn at second and headed for third, and Ohapi just fires this ball into third and guns him and had him relatively easily. It was a very nice play. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend checking it out because it's very interesting to watch the buildup of him missing the back pick or backhanding the ball instead of shuffling over, which he probably could have done. Again, learning curve stuff. But he did get over quick and make an excellent throw. So I would recommend looking at that if you haven't seen it already. And that was a real nice thing I figured I would point out. And now getting into the bats, Renjifo stayed hot, hitting a double the other way in his 1-for-3 day. Taylor Ward went 1-for-2, got a nice knock there. And Gio Urshela had the best line of the day. He had 2 hits in his 3 trips to the plate. Not super impressive, but still, you know, hits are hits. Nice day for him. And this was in the 9th inning. We might as well fast forward. And Miles Emerson, in his 1 at-bat, he comes up and hits a 2 RBI double and ties the game. And that's how the game would end, since the games in spring training do not go to extras. So that was a clutch hit. Love to see that from the kid. And very impressed with his swing there. Nice and smooth. Beautiful job there. And that would be it for the Dodgers and Angels on Friday. But between then and the Cubs game, Sandoval was named the number 2 starter because he would be taking the home opener, which is a huge honor to bestow on a pitcher. And he will also be following Ohtani in Oakland when they do make that second game there. So that's really interesting to see that he's past Tyler Anderson, which I kind of expected a little bit, but I was very curious to see how they would order this. And I'm glad to see that they're giving the nod to Sandoval because he really has earned it. And I think this is going to be huge momentum for him going into the season. And I think he's going to earn it every time he goes out there. He was one of the most unlucky starters in baseball last year with how many times he would leave a game with the lead and have less than 2 runs scored against. And then the bullpen will blow it and he'll get a loss. He only won like 6 games last year, it feels like. If not, it was around there. It wasn't very many. So hopefully he's going to get a couple more wins if the bullpen can hold it together and the bats can back him up a little bit. But he will be making that home opener start, which will be against the Blue Jays. And they might be potentially without their star first baseman, Vladimir Guerrero. And as a Canadian, I do watch a lot of Blue Jays games whenever I can. And I love watching this guy play. Obviously, his dad was an Angel great. So, you know, there's that connection as well. But the thing that really sucks is Guerrero suffered a knee injury and it even forced him to pull out of the World Baseball Classic, which really does suck because I was so looking forward to watching him play. But it's better for him to put his health first, and obviously the Blue Jays are above the Dominican and you can't fault him for that. It's really sad, but yeah, you got to do what you got to do, unfortunately. But and also, in other news, there was the stuff about Max Scherzer, and he has already cracked the code to the pitch clock. So what he's been doing is he's getting into hitters' heads by just being set and waiting and then firing the ball in as soon as they step into the box. But then after he finds a way to get them to burn a timeout, he will sit there and wait until they use the timeout, and then he'll just be set waiting for them to step into the box and then almost quick pitching. So it's very interesting to see what he's done. I'd imagine there's probably a couple of pitchers who are going to try this, but leave it to Max Scherzer to do the most on-brand thing and just exploit that as perfectly as you can. And it's only spring training and Max Scherzer is doing Max Scherzer things, of course. So that was very interesting to see that. And also, one thing that him and Ohtani have in common is the fact that they were both wearing a PitchCom device on their own, on themselves. So they were calling their own games. And a few other pitchers have been doing this across the league, but I think this is really good for Ohapi, because if he's going to be joined at Ohtani's hip like he has been, I think this is great because you're learning from one of the best pitchers in baseball who has a very mixed arsenal, how to call a game from a pitcher's perspective, which is something you kind of need as a catcher, is to understand your pitchers and individually how they work. So that's very good for him to be able to learn from one of the best and have Ohtani lead him down the road to success this year. I think that's going to help him a lot. It can only lead to good things. I don't see this ending bad at all. That's very good for him. But Ohtani only had his one start, as we know, before he headed to Japan, which he looks like he is having an absolute blast. If you haven't seen the photos on Instagram, please go check him out because he is just having a ball. I'm so happy for him to see him go play for his country. That's so much fun. Anyways, moving on. Now we've got the Angels and Cubs game, which was on Saturday. And Reed Detmers started, and he was up on the fastball. He was sitting around 94, 95, and he did hit 96. So he was sitting 93.2 last year, and he did also have a 91 to 90 mile per hour slider slash cutter. Kind of tough to tell. They're effectively the same thing. A cutter's basically a hard slider. But yeah, that was really good to see that. So I'm very happy to see that he's added a bit of velocity. That's going to help him make a big jump this year, is if he's going to be able to blow it by guys and then just snap off that curveball for a strike. Because you can go fastball away and then curveball down and in and then fastball low and away and just dot people up. That's going to be nice to see. So hopefully he's prepping for a good year. He did have a good outing today. Or I keep saying today. He had a good outing yesterday. He went 2 innings and a third. He did only go out there just to get a pitch count raised, so he only got the one out there. He allowed 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts, and 2 walks. Not too bad, but the runner who scored was when, after he got pulled, Torres came in and allowed a triple to Horner. And the guy that he allowed on base scored via that triple. So it wasn't like Detmers allowed a hit and then allowed another hit and had someone come in. It was an inherited runner to Torres. So he let him score, but the run goes to Detmers' line. But after Torres came in, he did strike out Bellinger, and then a hit the other way scores another run, unfortunately. And then Davinsky came in, and he looked really good. He had a good changeup. It was looking real solid. No hits, no strikeouts, no walks. Clean inning for him. And Matt Moore came in afterwards, allowing 1 hit, given out a strikeout, and no damage whatsoever. Mason Erla came in, and he allowed 2 hits, but looked pretty solid in his 2 innings, also getting a strikeout. And this next one is someone who's been coming up on the radar a little bit, and he had a very good inning here. And that would be Victor Medeiros, who had a lights out 1-2-3. Good fastball, high velo, and a nice breaking slider. And it looked good. He dominated that inning. And I'm really excited in a 1-2-3 inning as well. So good stuff from Medeiros here. Before I get into how the batters did, I do kind of want to give a little bit of an analogy here. And considering Inter just played a game today and they were actually quite good in front of goal, I do kind of want to use this analogy. And it's, you got to be clinical in the final third. And the comparison to baseball in that is hitting with runners on and hitting runners with scoring position in. And they left 7 guys on base. I know this is only a spring training game, so it doesn't matter a ton, but leaving guys on is how you lose games. Makes sense, but you can't keep doing that. It's tough. Granted, the lineup they ran out here for the Cubs game was not the A lineup, so I'm not super concerned, but if your depth can come through in games like this, that just makes your team even better. So, you know, you still want to see them perform, but not too big of a deal. But yeah, the defense was a bit of a roller coaster as well, I might add. And some of those defensive plays that we saw were pretty interesting. Had a lot of good throws over to third base. And Michael Stefanik had a very intelligent play. He was moving to his left to field a ball, and he slipped, bobbled it a little bit, and with two outs in the inning, might I add, he, in the bottom of the second, he threw it behind the runner at third, knowing he didn't have the time to get the guy at first, and threw, and going from third to home and tagging the guy out in a rundown. Very smart veteran play. Love to see that. That was very aware of his surroundings. And that's real, real good to see that. And, you know, that was very smart. And then he did follow that up with a base knock the other way and then stole second because Horner dropped the ball on the tag. Just good to know that. He would have been out if Horner didn't drop the ball there, but he did get a stolen base and a hit and a very good defensive play all in the same one inning span. So that was really nice to see him do that. And another note that Andrew Velasquez has officially dropped switch hitting. I know he did that at the end of the season last year, but he is exclusively hitting from the right side. They're trying to get him as many at-bats against right-handed pitching as possible, which I think is good because getting him used to batting from the right side and the arm slot and the angle of the pitch coming in from that side of the plate does help. So you need to have experience there before the regular season. And Jake Lamb as well had a very interesting day. He struggled receiving some of the pickoffs, and there was a couple. He dropped one or two of them, but one of them got past him in the sixth inning when Mason Erlith threw over, and Brett Phillips came in and just fired an absolute dart to third to get PCA, or Pete Crow Armstrong, if you don't know who that is, one of the better Cubs prospects. But he just hosed him. And that, I was thinking earlier when, after that play, that Lamb made a nice sliding catch in foul territory, and he jumped, and he was aware to the runner tagging at second because he knew he could on a flyout, which is still technically viable in foul territory. He throws over to third and just barely a little bit behind, but right idea. And it was very close. So gotta give him credit for that. It wasn't his fault that the ball got by him. The throw wasn't fantastic, but he probably should have been able to bring that one in to make the tag on the pass ball. So Phillips didn't have to throw it in, but that is neither here nor there. Still got the guy out. So that's always good. Yeah, there was a nice barehanded play at third base by one Mr. Jackson. So he had a barehanded play, picks it up and throws, but he barely pulls Taylor Jones off the bag by like half an inch. Unfortunately, that was enough to, you know, make the runner safe. So not a great throw, but a good job fielding it. Got to bring it down a little bit, but that's always a tough play when you're charging in like that. So I'll cut him a little slack. Joe Adell, who was in left field, and there was a double that was hit his way, and it went over his head. After he jumped, it was still like a foot and a half over his head. And he did not take the best route, nor get the best reaction. And he could have just played it off the wall and gotten it in quick instead of trying to make a spectacular catch and try and make a highlight reel play. He could have just played it smart. But yeah, not fantastic. No damage was done. It's not like he made a huge error. Just one of those things he can work on. I still think his routes need to be a little bit more crisp because he wasn't very efficient, at least in that instance. But yeah, so I just figured I would let that out there. But Moniak, who also had a nice day, he had a nice triple. And he just ripped this thing into right field and turned on the Jets. So a good day. The the guys didn't score too many runs. It wasn't a huge, they didn't score any runs, sorry. They got shut out 2-0, but yeah, they did all right. You get shut out, you can't say that they did great, but saw some nice things in the process. But on to today's game, and this game, the Rangers-Angels game, I was not able to watch because I was watching the other game that was on today. That was the Reds and Angels that was being played. So I kind of just went off of box scores and a couple little things that I saw here and there. I kind of tuned in a little bit on audio, but that's about it. And before the game, actually, Kurt Suzuki was brought back as a special assistant to the general manager. And that's really cool to have him back in the building. I'm super happy to have him in a, I guess, a management type of role or a coaching role. So good to see Kurt back in the building. So, you know, you love to see that. He was very nice to have in the clubhouse last year. I loved watching him just be Kurt Suzuki. We love to see him here. So happy for him. Nice that he got another job. And one of the things that was mentioned during the broadcast today in the Angels and Reds game was something about the pickoff restrictions and the Angels maybe having a slight advantage with that, having 4 left-handed starters and, of course, the Loops, the Quijadas, the Moores coming out of the pen as well, because knowing that you can control the run game is a huge part of pitching. Because if you don't have control of the run game, it can make bad situations worse. Because if you have one out and you have a guy on and you've already allowed 2 runs in the inning and he's stealing second, that can be really deflating. Because you're like, all right, I got a chance at one pitch and I can get a double play and we can get out of here and limit the damage. But as soon as that happens, it's just like, oh, okay, now I need to work even harder to get this. So you want to be able to keep control of the run game, and the pickoff restrictions and the pitch clock, you might be able to keep that in check a little bit better than most teams will be able to. So most teams are going to be running a lot. The Angels won't be run on a lot is what I'm trying to say. And especially if you have Mr. Logan Ohapi gunning people down. So that's another incentive for teams not to run. So that could be a huge game deciding tidbit for later in the year. Yeah, just figured I would point that out, that I can't remember who it was that said it on the broadcast. But yeah, that was very interesting. And onto the Rangers-Angels, they lost 7-5. Again, winning and losing doesn't exactly matter, but it does. It goes into the record book, I guess. But Jose Suarez's line was a little bit busy. He did have 1 2/3 innings pitched, allowed 3 hits, 2 runs, one of them was earned, 2 strikeouts, and a walk. Nothing crazy. Give up a couple runs and a couple hits. Not the best, but stuff happens. And I'm going to do my best to pronounce this name. Kristofak, I'm going to guess, came into the game and finished the second inning and nothing more. So he only got 1 out. Then Garza came in for his 1 inning, allowed a solo shot, and gave out 2 Ks to end the inning. Zach Weiss was following him, allowed 3 hits, 3 earned runs, and had a walk. Austin Warren had a not bad outing with a strikeout in his 1-2-3 inning. Kalish came in and he also went 1-2-3. And Rosenberg came in and he also went 1-2-3 with a strikeout. And Coleman Crow came in. He had 2 hits, 1 run. It was unearned. 1 walk as well. So the pitchers did pretty solid despite the loss. A couple of 1-2-3 innings here, but a couple of guys had a couple of blow-ups. So very, very 50-50 on the game. Not too bad. But some of the bats did all right. Brett Phillips had a triple. He went 1-for-3. He also struck out again. But I wanted to talk about Phillips, and he is striking out quite a bit. I really am pulling for him. I want to see him hit. Because I want that defense. I want that speed. I want that heart. I want that energy in the major league clubhouse. But I don't want it to come at the detriment of production. And I'm really looking... I'm really looking for something to try and figure out what is wrong with what he's doing. And it just, it hurts to see because I want to see him do well, but he's not. So if he's not cutting, if he's not pulling his weight, cut him or send him down or something. Just, he can't be on the major league team if this is the kind of production. I think he had 6 strikeouts and he was like 0 for 12 before this game. Something ridiculous. But yeah, moving on. Gio Urshela went 1 for 3, 2 RBIs. Nice game from him. Renjifo went 1 for 3, had a RBI. And Jared Walsh went 1 for 3, but he did have 2 Ks. So not fantastic. And speaking of 2 Ks, Joe Adell, 2 strikeouts. Zach Neto, 0 for 3 with a strikeout as well. And Jordan Adams had a really good day at the plate. He went 2 for 2 with an RBI and a walk. And that's pretty much all I got on the game. I didn't watch any of this. I did just kind of basically run through the box score. So I'm kind of going off of that and a couple little Twitter posts that I've seen about how so-and-so is doing. So that's about it. Moving on to the Reds-Angels game. The Angels won 8-5. Sandoval looked like he was going to struggle early. He was throwing a lot of fastballs early in the first inning. And he didn't go into his off-speed until later. So he did allow 2 hits in the inning and a run scored. But he, after that, just dialed it in, getting 4 strikeouts with the changeup. And he got 6 strikeouts on the day in his 3 innings of work. Didn't allow a walk, but he did really utilize the slider and the changeup very, very well. And he did bounce back with that. And he did have a couple bad bounces in the inning where he allowed a run. A hit that barely stays in, a blooper here, kind of. He does get super unlucky, and it really is kind of annoying to watch just how bad some of the breaks he gets are. And after that inning, Ben Joyce came in and threw fire, just like usual. 1 strikeout, and on the last out of the inning, Jake Lamb at first makes an amazing stop, and Joyce is already at the bag. He's pretty much waiting for the ball to come in, and he gets a nice out at first, and he covered it well in a 1-2-3 inning. And Aaron Loop followed that up with a 1-hit inning with 2 strikeouts. Tapera, well, the Angels got the lead, and Tapera blew it immediately. Granted, they got it back later in the game. But yeah, that was rough. He had 1 inning pitched, 3 hits, 3 runs, and one of them was earned due to some throwing errors. But yeah, that's not great. Tough one to have happen to the guy. But yeah, gotta tighten some things up. But Quijada had a nice day. He allowed 1 hit and then went 1-2-3. Wentz allowed a hit and shut it down other than that. And I heard it. It was View, not Vino. He closed out the game in the 9th. Bit of damage. Hit 2 hits and a run. One of them was an RBI double. Nothing insane. But the Angels still got the win. So didn't blow it or anything. But yeah, the pitchers kind of struggled a little bit today. Aside from Sandoval and Joyce, yeah, it was a little bit back and forth. Tapera kind of had a rough one. Yeah, not too bad for the pitchers, though, all in all. And Anthony Rendon had a decent day with a couple of walks. Taylor Ward had a go-ahead 2 RBI double in the 5th, which was right around the time that Tapera blew it in the 6th. So tough luck for him there. Moniak had a couple of strong throws from the outfield as well. One of them was just on a play where the guy was tagging from 30, threw it into about where shortstop is just to get the ball in to make sure that nobody else was advancing. He knew he wouldn't get the guy at home. But then he did also have one that prevented a run from scoring, which was nice. So he threw the ball home on the guy who was tagging at third. He second-guessed it because he would have been hosed. So that was really good to see him making a potential run-saving play. And Brandon Drury had a 1-for-2 day with a walk. Nice to see that. And Mike Trout, who had 4 at-bats, which I don't think I've ever seen him have 4 ABs this early in spring. But he had 3, and he had a rough out in his third at-bat. You could just tell that he was like, I'm not leaving until I finish what I started. And he just absolutely crushes this ball into left center field for a double. And he's like, okay, now I'm good. And, of course, hit in a run. But you could just tell that it was just one of those, all right, now I'm done. Yeah, that was pretty cool to see. And moving on to Max Stassi, who I, in the last episode, was kind of curious to where he has been. But he was just working on his receiving of the ball, and he switched to a one-knee stance, which during an interview after the game with Erica Weston, he did go into a little bit of detail, and he was talking about how hard the pitchers are throwing and needing to be able to make a split-second reaction, whether to catch it with your palm towards, like whether you have your palm out or in trying to catch a ball that's low. Do you want to slide? Do you want to just go to ground and try and keep the ball in front of you? How you want to receive it? Staying on the one knee gives you a little bit more flexibility to shift side to side and stuff like that. So he just went into detail about that, making it easier for him to make that transition into however he wants to receive the ball. And that's important to think of, especially if you have a guy like Shohei Ohtani who can hit triple digits, and Ben Joyce who regularly sits there, and someone like, I don't even know, plenty of other guys. There's just in general, you need to be able to handle velocity. So that's good to see. And moving on to Hunter Renfroe, who I kind of think is going to thrive at like the 5-7 role, because he's going to ambush a lot of guys on the mound who think, oh yeah, I got through Trout, I got through Ohtani, I got through Rendon, and then boom, you hit Hunter Renfroe, who hits you harder. So nice to see that. But that's just a future idea. He didn't do anything crazy today. But Warner Blakely, who was playing third base today, had an error, but he did make up for it with a single up the middle that he stretched into a double, which was really nice to see. The speed, he was just flying on the bases. And this whole inning was incredibly well done. A nice hit up the middle, taking an extra base, and then the next batter hits a grounder to the right side. Blakely advances to third and then gets a sack fly, bring him in. Absolutely the perfect way to manufacture runs is exactly that. If you can make that inning happen, I'd say once a game, maybe twice, you will win a lot more games than you will lose if you're able to manufacture runs like that instead of just relying on bulk of boom. So that's always good. I love to see that. That was probably my favorite inning of spring training I had watched this entire season so far. Granted, small sample size, but that was impressive. And Orlando Martinez made a really nice diving catch to start the inning in the 8th, and then made a nice running catch that was behind him. So he went in and then out, and then he had to go left and back. So he got all 3 outs in the inning, and none of them were easy. He had to travel a lot of ground. So love to see that good defense. I already know he's a good hitter. He does hit for a little bit of power, but if he can provide a little bit of defense, you never know. He might be one of those random guys that gets called up. Maybe not this year, but potentially the year after if there's an injury or something like that. So you never know. Always good to show your value in spring, no matter what. And even if it's just future value, not today value, that's always good. And that is all I got for today. This is actually probably pretty close to my longest episode, I would imagine. But hope you all enjoyed. Hope you enjoy the coming up games. And the Angels have plenty more spring training games coming down the pike. And anything else that's going on, they've got a game against the Guardians. Griffin Canning is going to start on Monday. And then they play the Padres. They don't have any starter announced for that. But that's all I got. Hope you enjoyed. And go Halos.